This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The 2011 Marketing Freedom for Grain Farmers Act purged the Canadian Wheat Board of farmer-elected directors. In their place, a board of Harper government appointees was set up. The new board was given until 2016 to come up with a privatization plan and until 2017 to implement it. Under a plan now taking shape behind closed doors, a private sector investor will assume control. That corporation will not have to reimburse the Federal Treasury for assets Canadians paid for, or at least indirectly financed. Joining us to discuss these plans is Ian Robson. He's the Manitoba coordinator of the National Farmers Union. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Now, what Canadian Wheat Board assets are going to be handed over to a private investor?
Yes, we have to remember the Harper government totally misrepresented the idea of the Wheat Board. The biggest asset was the single desk selling and the power of group marketing. Harper government nationalized the Wheat Board, and it is no longer the same creature that it was. The assets in existence in 2011 were the goodwill and the knowledge of the world-class staff who were in contact with all of the buyers around the world and had knew what kind of grain was available in Canada, and they could manage to put the buyers and the sellers together and obtain premium prices for us as farmers. The Wheat Board built up a contingency fund, which was money raised by four farmers on farmers' money and on the grain we sold. There was shortage of railway cars back in the 70s to deliver grain, and at that time, the Canadian Wheat Board used farmers' money to purchase railway cars. Those railway cars benefited not just the shipment of wheat, but non-board grains as well. And in 2009 and 10, plans were made for the same reason to facilitate the shipping of grain. There was need to purchase lake shippers. And again, farmers' money was used to purchase two new lake grain shippers, and those are now in service. And so the total of the assets is way, way over $300 million. The contingency fund, the railway cars, the lake ships, and we can't put a price on the goodwill of the brand that was built up by our Farmers Wheat Board. The value of that brand is much reduced right now.
So it sounds like you have the tangible assets, and then you also have the intangible ones that you were just talking about.
That's right.
Yeah. What's going on now with the Wheat Board and the sale of these assets? How much do we know?
Well, we don't really know very much. The Farmers Canadian Wheat Board, prior to 2011, was required to release audited financial statements, which included the entire value of the grain that it exported and the costs involved in exporting that grain, and a report how much money was paid back to farmers. And so we have that data from the grain marketing system, and every year the Wheat Board, the Farmers Wheat Board, was able to deliver more than 90% of the export value of grain back to farmers such as myself. I raise cattle and grain. And under the Minister Ritz and Harper privatized, nationalized, greatly reduced Wheat Board, it appears from its report in a market report newsletter, and we can't find much more information. Anyway, the newsletter said in February the farmers were receiving only 41% of the export price of grain, February 2014. So from that, it's difficult to say that farmers are getting proper service from the Harper and Ritz Wheat Board. We really don't know what to call it. It was called the Canadian Wheat Board, and now they call it the CWB, but it is not the same company, and it cannot do the same services that it did for farmers.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Pat Martin, the MP from Winnipeg, stood up in the House and asked the minister concerned if he was out of his frickin' mind. What was Pat Martin so mad about?
Well, the assets of the Wheat Board are entirely paid for by grain farmers. There was virtually no taxpayer money involved in the operation of the Canadian Wheat Board. The Wheat Board did use the credit rating of the Government of Canada as an advantageous borrowing value, and but that never involved a cost to the taxpayers. And so since the Bill C-18, Minister Ritz has reported that, and even boasted that there's been $300 million of taxpayer money used in, we don't know what, closing down the operation of the Farmers Wheat Board. This would be buying out salaried employees, severance pay, possibly buying out grain contracts that the Wheat Board would have negotiated with foreign buyers. There's no accountability for that taxpayer money. And because of these behind-closed-door negotiations that you mentioned, it appears that the government would take those assets that were built up by farmers, all by farmers' value, and turn them over to some private grain company and not charge that private grain company any payment back to the taxpayer. The proposal would be that the entire asset value would remain with that chosen grain company. And there, it's amazing. There was a group of farmers who did put in a bid, and they saw these terms as favorable and possibly useful in the farmers trying to rebuild the Canadian Wheat Board. And that group of farmers is called Farmers for North America. Their potential bid was rejected outright as being as not fitting the criteria. And there's been no release of what the criteria might be. All of this is taking place behind closed doors.
So Canadian farmers offered money for the Canadian Wheat Board assets, and yet the supposition is that the Wheat Board that's run by the government is going to give away those assets to a foreign corporation?
Well, that appears to be the case. If the federal government, I believe it was the minister that first rejected the farmers' offer, and we have currently a letter from the Canadian Wheat Board which is responding to this kind of speculation, and it is speculation because there's been no release of information. We have little bits of information that we can work from, and the Farmers for North America offer, it tells a lot when you hear the answer. So yes, if the assets of the Wheat Board are turned over to a foreign grain elevator company that was once a competitor of the Canadian Wheat Board and the farmers' selling agent. It should be clear about this. The Canadian Wheat Board was a selling agent for farmers. It was never a buyer of farmers' grain, and Mr. Ritz likes to think that more buyers in the market will cause the price to go up. The power of single-desk selling caused the price of grain to go up because people who had to buy Canadian grain from the Wheat Board, they had nowhere else to go to get our quality grain. So now if these assets are turned over to one private elevator company, that elevator company is essentially given a gift. And how is this going to increase my price of grain?
And I guess the assumption behind that is that Canadian farmers are not being paid enough for their grain.
Well, that's always been the battle, is to try to get as much as we can from the international buyers and from the people who buy our grain. And we need, because there's so many small-scale farmers raising grain, if you have only a few elevator companies purchasing that grain, there's a mismatch in the power system and in the ability to negotiate price. And this is why we used the Canadian Wheat Board successfully for years. But now, under a private grain market or the nationalized wheat board, soon to be non-existent wheat board, we've been thrown back into a situation of only a few buyers of our grain and many sellers. And the difficulty in setting a price is quite evident.
The answer to this next question may be quite obvious, but I'll ask it anyway. Who's going to benefit from the privatization of the wheat board?
Well, essentially, right now, the private elevators who were in existence benefit. As soon as the legislation was passed, they're able to charge higher handling fees and higher basis fees. They're able to hide their mistakes when there was congestion in shipping grain last winter and even this year. The wheat board was able to coordinate the shipment of grain on time and load it on vessels in the port on time. So if there's delays, there's demurrage charges, and the elevator companies are hiding those demurrage charges in the basis charges that get deducted from my grain price. It's a very interesting process of following the money. If you follow the accounting, and a lot of people in the West Coast and on the prairies fully understand how beneficial the wheat board was to farmers. It's amazing that the bankers put up with farmers essentially earning less money than they should from the grain business. Yes, supply and demand has always set the price of grain. And what we're after is getting our fair share of that price, and that's what the wheat board did.
Let's say we get a government that is more sympathetic to the concerns of grain farmers. Could the wheat board be revived?
Well, I think that is possible. The farmers had the first taste of the wheat board at the end of the First World War. And because of that experience, they saw the concept as being very beneficial. It's a group marketing effort or unionized selling, if you want to put it that way. Mr. Ritz described it as a monopoly buyer. That's only very, very minuscule part of the operation of the wheat board. It was a single desk seller, and by just focusing on it being a monopoly, it changed your view as opposed to whether it's a single desk seller. So yes, it can be rebuilt. It took the Great Depression and another world war to rebuild it. And we're currently, the federal government has been running it for 2 years without any financial accountability or financial statements. Even private elevator companies are required to file financial statements and what their staff is paid and give us a financial accountability. So when Mr. Ritz made a promise that farmers were going to be involved in a wheat board after his bill, he seems to have made false promises. So the question is, did the wheat board die in 2011, or is it going to die in 2016 or 2017? And it should be revived.
Well, it's been good to talk to you this morning, Ian, and I wish you the best of luck in your fight to get a decent price for your grain.
Well, I think people have to watch out for this government on so many policy issues, and thank you for that. And we all, every one of us as farmers, wants more for our grain. That's always been a difficulty in farming, and this was an agent that helped us to get it.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Ian Robson. He is the Manitoba coordinator of the National Farmers Union.